You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to MLB Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks edition. Hello, everybody. I'm Allison Footer. I am here with Steve Gilbert, and we are going to continue to preview what we hope will be an interesting spring training. And Steve, the team recently added Wilmer Flores. They made some kind of minor adjustments, tweaking the roster. What do you think is next? Is there anything more that they'll be doing, do you think, before they all quote unquote report to spring training, even though nobody really has to travel for this?
Thanks, Allison. It's good to be with you again. I think after they sign Wilmer Flores, they plan on him pretty much being their everyday second baseman or getting most of the reps at second base. And that would shift Ketel Marte out to center field. And according to Mike Hazen, who we talked to after the signing, this pretty much kind of completes their position player roster. He feels pretty confident with Marte in center and with Flores and some of the depth that they now have, which is going to now allow him to focus. The one last thing they'd like to do is maybe add an arm or two for the bullpen. He's always big on adding to the bullpen, no matter how many guys you have in the bullpen. Mike Hazen always says you can have more and it doesn't hurt to have more. So he'd like to build a little depth in that bullpen. And there's still a lot of relievers on the market. It'll be interesting to see, as we get closer here to spring training, if some of the guys might fall through the cracks. As you might recall, they signed Fernando Rodney kind of late in the offseason a couple of years ago. And in part, that was because they could offer him the ability to close. So they haven't named a closer as of right now. If it had to be opening day tomorrow, it would be Archie Bradley. But they're kind of leaving it somewhat open in case somebody does fall through the cracks and they're able to then not just offer them money, but offer them an opportunity to close that maybe some other teams might not be able to.
Let's talk about the pitching a little bit. We have an article on MLB.com where every beat writer contributed their projected rotations if the season started today. Not a lot of surprises with the Diamondbacks, but let's talk about Merrill Kelly, who is the projected number five starter right now and somebody that we are not all that familiar with. So tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's a guy that they've scouted. He played in Korea. He was initially with the Rays organization before signing over in Korea 4 years ago, and he pitched very well over in Korea. And he's one of those guys that's kind of a low risk sign. There's not a lot of money that they have invested in him. He'll earn salaries of $2 million this year and $3 million next year, with club options for 2020 and 2021. So they feel like it's kind of a low risk, but they saw what happened when the Cardinals, and he's a little different story, but somewhat similar when the Cardinals signed Miles Michaelis out of the Japanese League last year. You know, he went 18-4 for the Cardinals. And so it was something where they just kind of thought, hey, this is an interesting way to acquire talent. They like the fact that his velocity has ticked up in the last year or two. He's kind of learned how to pitch a little bit more over there. And in talking with him, he said that part of it was, kind of becoming his own pitching coach over there and changing his arm slot slightly. And now, he's had his fastball, he says, up to 97. That might be a tad bit high, but, he's still pitching now in the 90s. And so brings them some something that they think could be a real find for them, especially if he's only being counted on to be the fifth starter in a rotation.
Now, who are some of the other names that we should be thinking of? I mean, there'll be more guys in the mix that are attempting to secure spots in the rotation. So who are some of the kind of more guys on the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have guys. One guy that you don't want to, sleep on is Matt Cook. He's a guy that last year came up and did a nice job for them. He certainly will likely be competing for a spot there. Taijuan Walker will be back probably after a month or so, maybe 2 months into the season after Tommy John surgery that he had last year. They've got some prospects. Taylor Clark is a guy who could probably be more of a contributor later in the season, but he's somebody that could be in the mix in spring training. You know, they still, you know, Matt Andrees is a guy that they thought could at some point start. He's been in a bullpen, but, you know, again, another intriguing arm for them. And then they've got guys like John Duplantier, who's probably not, you know, likely to make the team out of spring training, but is certainly somebody that that could see some big league time before the end of the year.
Every week we want to kind of spotlight a player to watch, somebody who might be an interesting storyline as spring training gets underway. And we haven't talked a lot about the catching situation. Of course, the Diamondbacks made what looks to be a pretty sound trade when they traded away Paul Goldschmidt, and they received, among other players, Carson Kelly, who was once a top catching prospect for the Cardinals. So how does that shake out behind the plate and in terms of playing time and what we can maybe expect to see from Carson Kelly?
Yeah, the Diamondbacks, like a lot of teams these days, have put a lot of emphasis on what a catcher can bring to not just defensively, but also calling a game and working with a pitching staff. And all the reports on Carson Kelly were that he grades out very high in both of those categories. He didn't get a lot of playing time, a lot of opportunity with the Cardinals, obviously, because Yadier Molina plays probably, I would imagine, more than any catcher in baseball in terms of his workload. But on the flip side of that, it also gave Carson Kelly, as he said, a chance to really watch one of the best catchers in the game perform day in and day out. He's been to 5 spring trainings with Molina, so he's gotten to kind of see firsthand what a gold glover kind of goes through in prepping for a season and kind of how it maintains throughout a season. So he says he's taken a lot of notes and taken a lot of what Yadier has told him to heart. And the Diamondbacks are excited. They believe that there's still some offense in his bat while he's, you know, is obviously defense is his biggest strength. They also see some upside in his bat if he could get some consistent at-bats at the big league level. So he's a guy that probably will get the majority of the playing time behind the plate. But the Diamondbacks last year and the year before like to keep 3 catchers on their roster. They ask a lot of their catchers in terms of game planning and working with starting pitchers. So whether they carry 3 or not this year remains to be seen. And you can bet that they'll, you know, still rotate guys in and out. But I would imagine that when you add it all up at the end of the year, that it's Carson Kelly that is the leader in terms of game started behind the plate.
We would be remiss if we didn't at least discuss the Hall of Fame voting results. Of course, they recently announced who will be the induction class of 2019, and Curt Schilling will not be in that class. He is seeing a little bit more support every year. He received his highest percentage in about 3 years, but still not anywhere close to actually being elected. How do you think this is going to go? He finished with 60.9% of the votes. You need 75. I feel like he may end up getting in eventually. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think you kind of see, you know, he started to gain votes and this year took a kind of a big step forward. And I think as time goes on and you know, we begin to look at other numbers for him, he probably stacks up comparatively to some of these guys that are getting in right now, whether that's a Mike Mussina or whatnot. So Kurt's still got 3 years left on the ballot. I would say at this point, probably he gets in, but these things are always kind of fluid and hard to know exactly how the voting's going to shake out and who's going to be casting the votes. But I think that this year had to be encouraging for him, while maybe not for, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, who didn't take big jumps again. I think it's probably encouraging for Kurt's chances.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that in 2016, the Hall of Fame implemented a new rule where you actually have to be a baseball writer to vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is I think, a sound decision. So pretty much if you haven't covered baseball in 10 years, then you lose your vote. That lopped off 109 people from the voting body. And so everybody's percentages went up significantly that year, but the vote totals actually did not. And I think that's important to note, because I think that Schilling has a better chance to get in than Bonds and Clemens, because I think that they had the jump from so many people losing their vote. And then I think anybody who is decided that they're going to vote for Bonds and Clemens has done so already. And I think that Schilling, as much of a, you know, quite frankly, that the a lot of writers view him as a reprehensible person. But I think they're also understanding that the person and the player are separate things, and then they need to be voting about the player. And I really do think that a lot of voters are still coming around on him. And I just think that he's going to eventually get in. And I don't think Bonds and Clemens are. I don't know if you have any opinions on that.
Yeah, I think he probably does. I think he probably does get in. And I think that Bonds and Clemens probably don't. And certainly Kurt has been kind of a controversial figure, not so much for his political beliefs necessarily, but with the intensity that he holds them and kind of how he chooses to express them that turn people off more so than what those opinions actually are. But again, I don't want to dive too much into the political, but I think that you see that with his totals going up, that people are kind of looking beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's fascinating. And 2021 and 2022 are going to, if we think that things are getting heated now, just wait until these guys are starting to enter their last years on the ballot. So I think we're just getting started. But anyway, thanks to everybody for listening to MLB Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks edition. And thanks to you, Steve. And we'll talk to you next time.